Hey, everybody. Welcome to the A1 Auto Body Podcast with your host, Nick Sands. Today, I am speaking with Dennis, Russell, and Rachel from the Refinish Academy. The Refinish Academy is an educational platform that's kind of designed around teaching, helping body techs, painters, and everybody in the auto body industry kind of keep growing and learning together. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing awesome.
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, too. I appreciate you guys all taking the time to do this with me.
Anytime, boss. Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time as well to have us.
Dennis is the founder of Refinish Academy. So I guess the place to start would be, Dennis, where did you come up with the idea and how did you get into the industry in the first place?
It's a long story, but essentially in a nutshell, I started when I was 16 in a shop because I crashed my car drag racing and I needed some help. So I had a cousin that had a shop and I asked for him to help me fix my car. And he said, sure, but you got to come to work. And I never left the industry, basically. That's really it. From there, I went to work for a distributor and got to know that side of things. Went to work in a high volume production shop, small shops, went to work for a paint manufacturer, another multi-line distributor. So it's just kind of been an ongoing thing over the last 20 years. And it's kind of led me to this point in my last position. I was really more of a technical person, trying to share what I've learned over the last 20 years and, being fortunate enough to be around so many people and absorb so much from so many different people that I wanted to come up with a way where we could share kind of what we've learned along the way and present it to the industry. Feel like it's just something that has been lacking for a long time in our industry. And that's really what's led us to this point. With the help of Rachel and Russell, or good friends of mine here, we all kind of share the common vision, pull the trigger on it. And so here we are.
Well, I love what you guys are doing. Russell, I'm assuming that you, I know that you are a painter by trade generally.
Yeah.
How did you start getting into the industry? And how did you get hooked up with Dennis for the Refinish Academy?
So it started for me about 8, maybe 10 years ago. I just needed a job at the time. And one of my friends worked at a body shop and he asked me if I wanted to work there as a detailer. And I gave it a shot. I was like, why not? And then, you know, I started as a detailer. I learned to cut and polish cars. And then I realized I didn't want to stay outside forever and do that. So I made my way into the sanding line. Then I went to work behind the painter at the first shop I was at. And then it just kind of took off from there. I left there to go prep at a bigger shop that was more high volume. I learned to paint there more. And then I realized I didn't want to stay there much longer just because there wasn't a painting spot and I was ready to paint. So I left there, went to the current shop that I'm at now, took the head painter's job there, and I've been there ever since. And that's where I met Dennis. And then we became friends over the course of time. And then he asked me if I wanted to help with this. And, you know, I feel like it was something I needed to do because there's a lot of people out there that need help that, you know, they don't learn the right things or the right way. They get taught poor habits. And I was fortunate enough to have a lot of, you know, good people around me to teach me the right habits. So I just figured, why not? You know, it's a cool thing and I can pay it forward and, you know, help everybody out in the process.
That's awesome. And so you guys are both out over on the West Coast. So, Rachel, how did you meet them and how did you get into the – well, I know you've been in the industry for a while, but how did you, get connected with them after – and how did you get started in the industry?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting full circle because I remember visiting your dad's shop, you know, years ago, probably, I don't know, over a decade ago, and meeting your brother and all that jazz, but – I guess I'll start at the beginning. I just grew up in a garage with brothers and a dad and around project cars and tools and all that kind of thing. So for me professionally, you know, I started out as a tech and then work my way up through distribution and then on to manufacturing within the collision industry. And, you know, most recently I branched out of manufacturing and into, you know, my own practice doing consulting for body shops. But how I met Dennis and Russ was really my previous profession with the paint manufacturer. Dennis and I worked together. So, you know, we became friends just through the career path that we were on. And then just through talking over the years, really, we had talked about like the gap in technology and how, for whatever reason, Autobody didn't seem to have this like online space to learn that was accessible to everybody. And just, you know, Dennis was super motivating and I decided to help.
It is very strange because I noticed that as well. If you type in like Autobody into like YouTube, you get like some weird videos from Australia of like Australian hillbillies. No offense. And then like for some reason that all of the videos are Australian, I noticed.
So true.
And then like that was it. Like there was really nothing. And then I remember seeing your guys' videos like, I don't know, maybe like six months ago. And it was like, okay, so these guys are, like, actually doing it. You know what I mean? This is, like, high production value. Like, they're really trying to get a message across.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, I think I've seen the same video you're talking about. And there's, there's one that really stands out, and I think I even gave Rach and Russ the example, like, when we were all together and filming. I just remember on YouTube, like, looking I'm a curious guy. I'm a researcher. I love just learning whatever I can. And I remember seeing some video on YouTube that said, like, the title was, like, the best clear coat out there. And I was like, okay, I gotta see this, right? Let me see what this guy said. And he had a gallon of, like, you know, a blue brand, right? You know, premium product versus another a generic clear and then some other air dry clear. So he had three clears and he was painting in a barn. He's like, well, this $100 one is just every bit as good as that one. I'm like, man, that's just so inaccurate, right? I think it all depends. Depends on do you have bake capability? Do you not? What's the airflow in the booth like? What's your bake cycle capability like? Are you burying graphics or are you not burying graphics? There's so many ins and outs that I just thought like, wow, this is just bad information. And I thought, man, we could do better than this.
To be fair, so, if you're spraying in a barn, I bet you could make like top level clear look like dollar store clear, no problem.
Yeah.
You know what? I've painted in barns with dirt floors and we like wet cardboard and just put it on the dirt and wet it down. I've gotten some of the cleanest paint jobs out of places like that. I swear. But I think that was around the time I probably Googled it or looked for it because I knew I was going to be in that situation anyway. So, but my point, I suppose, is that, man, there was just so much misinformation and I thought that we could do better and really get into the why, you know, why is this good? Why you should look for something or what makes something good, right? So, of course, amongst many of the variables and things, but I just thought that, like you said, it's just the videos out there can be very deceiving. So I thought we really needed to do better. So that's really where it came from.
What do you think it is that created the gap? Like Rachel called it the gap of technology. Like, what do you think it is that created that? Because I feel like YouTube is, I mean, like, as far as, like, being a mechanic, like, you can literally find anything on YouTube, like, down to the make, model, year. You can pretty much find any part replacement on a car. But Autobody seems to have lagged so far behind. Why do you think that is?
Mechanical stuff is, you know. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Rachel.
No, my thought is I think the manufacturers have been thinking in different directions. A lot of the training has been hands-on. So I would say, you know, through the 90s and early 2000s, there was training centers built across the country and manufacturers used to tout that you could go on, you know, or go to their facility and learn there and it added value. Because it is, at the end of the day, I mean, it's hands-on work. It's not like IT or something different where you could remote in. I mean, you have to physically be there. So I think that's part of it was that the logic was you need to learn in person, but I would say that, like, if nothing else, 2020 has taught us that you can learn a lot remote.
Yeah, for sure.
But it just I don't know. It didn't progress that way, I guess.
Mechanical stuff is more like nuts and bolts to me. You know, it's not that, I mean, it's difficult, but it's not, it's nuts and bolts. It's like, it's not an art to me. Like, it's not, you know, when you're shaping a car or when you're applying paint, how to blend a color or anything like that. It's, hey, take this out, bolt this back in, plug it in, make sure it's good to go, and hopefully it doesn't blow up on you.
And I think refinish requires a level of finesse and assertiveness that kind of you develop over time. You know, it's kind of a diminishing skill if you don't really practice it right day in, day out. You can kind of lose it, you know, when it comes to like just having that foresight of like, okay, I'm looking for pinholes when I'm, you know, when I'm sealing or whatever it may be, or it's all these little, it's a very, you know, small detail thing, which is hard to, I think, maybe translate across like a digital thing. But I think that's at least my goal, is to focus on those things. Because I don't think you get a lot of those at some manufacturer training, right? I think it's a lot of, you know, you get a book and then they kind of give you the principles. But I feel like there are so many more little details that you learn for doing this day in and day out over 20, 30 years, however long it is, that you can pass along to a younger technician who's really wanting to like Russ, right? He didn't want to detail forever. He wanted to progress. And he was fortunate enough to learn around the people around him. And it's one of the reasons I really admired Russell early on. I said, man, this guy really wants to learn. Like this guy, he has a head on his shoulders that he really wants to advance. So I say, okay, I'm going to do my best to help him. And that's where kind of our friendship really came from. Cause Russell used to call me every day, literally every day, sometimes twice a day with a question. Yeah. And we want to provide that, right? We want to be a platform where you can have that, you can get information that you need and you can access it quickly from wherever you are. I feel like a lot of shops don't have that. I think Russ can attest to that before I came along, or even Rachel, I'm sure in her past life and the other career, right? Same thing. People would probably reach out. And if it wasn't for her, maybe they would be a little, they would have just kind of rolled the dice on this job and who knows what would have happened.
Well, I think what's an interesting piece is like, look at every body shop across the country or even abroad, the age range, people are 40 and older. You know, I serve on so many vocational school advisory boards and most kids don't have interest. So for the few that actually have interest in this career, you know, that are a millennial that learn by going online, there's a gap.
I know right now the average age of a body tech is like 55 years old, which is insane. Like,
it's just untrue.
Completely insane.
No, it's true. I mean, there's, and even in the shop I'm at now, there's only one younger cat in there and everybody else has been usually about 55 or above.
And that's a really scary thing. I mean, I remember again in my other position, man, I used to get phone calls every day. Hey, do you know a technician? Do you know a painter? I said, man, it's really slim pickings. It doesn't seem like anyone is entering the industry. So it just seemed like, okay, for those few people that choose to, let's have something where they can really absorb as much as we can throw at them, you know, because it is getting really, it's getting pretty bad as far as availability for techs.
I know my friend Big Ocean Design, I had her on the podcast, I want to say a couple months ago, and she is also a auto tech teacher, a body tech teacher, and teaches painting and stuff like that. And she said that there's just not a lot of interest for some reason in younger people, whereas, like, for some reason, mechanics is, like, super popular, which I don't get it, because, like, math is for nerds, you know what I mean?
Right.
We're artists. We're over here creating beautiful things, and they're over there, you know, playing on their computers, but I don't get it. But whatever. I don't know,
you know,
about the industry that seems to be lagging.
You know, I think, well, being here in California, so Russell and I are pretty close. I'm from the Bay Area. I was born in San Francisco. We're about an hour and 20 minutes away from Silicon Valley. And here, at least, you know, it seems like most kids, they're attracted to the money, right? I mean, San Francisco, one of the most expensive places to live, and the income is crazy. And I think it's kind of, it's attractive, right? Like, oh man, I'm making you know, six figures. I'm a graphic designer for Adobe or whoever it may be, right? And that's, so for some reason, you know, working in a shop just doesn't have that allure that it used to, at least out here.
I would say
that's kind of what I attribute it to. But
across like the Northeast, like look at car shows. Look at the attendance of those. Even that has been aging. That, like, I just think the younger generations don't have the interest in modifying or on the majority.
You're right.
Customizing their own car.
I think a lot of, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I can certainly relate to that. I think I remember I was 13. I changed the head gasket on my mom's 91 Toyota Corolla. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I'm a mechanical guy. I figured it out. And it's hard to do now with cars being as complicated as they are. You can't just kind of go for it. You know, I mean, they're not carbureted anymore. And I think it kind of deters people.
There are too many computers.
Yeah, exactly. The technology almost prevents people from tinkering. Where we, like Rachel, myself, Russell's a Volkswagen guy. I mean, we all have our thing. And I think the technology was just so mechanical, like we were talking about earlier, where it allowed that. Now a car is $80,000 and like, you ain't, you know, little Johnny, little Susie ain't tearing that thing apart to try and fix it themselves just to learn, you know. It doesn't happen anymore.
I think that's what confuses me so much about the fact that auto body as an industry hasn't been more popular, is that I feel like, you know, the mechanical side of things has certainly advanced. And I mean, the auto body side of things has obviously advanced a lot. But at the end of the day, we're spreading mud and spraying paint. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like that is a much lower barrier of entry than being a mechanic or doing something like that.
People don't want to work hard anymore. I mean, they want to be YouTube stars. They want to do this. They want to do that. Like, there's no, like, getting your hands dirty now is like, even like he said, most of the newer cars, they're all electronic. They're all computers. Like, most of it's just diagnostics, a few little things here and there. It's not actually like, you know, getting mud on your hands, getting paint on your hands, trying to figure a color out, pulling your hair out when the color doesn't go right. Like, it is.
Isn't that the worst?
It is. But I mean, like, I have a younger brother and like, he's a good kid, but he's like, he looks at what I do and he's like, man, I don't want to do that. Like, that's hard. And I'm like, yeah, it is hard. He's like, well, he's like, I just want to work on a computer. I'm like, that's nice, but that's lame. Like, it's cool, I guess, to each his own, but it's not my cup of tea. That's all.
I think that's why this is so important, though. If everyone's going to age out, there's all that sage advice and wisdom. Like, I just remember wheeling my toolbox into a shop for the first time and, like, nearly shitting my pants. Like, oh, my God. I don't think I can do this. Like, oh, my God. I'm so intimidated.
But you did it. But you did.
But, like, the older techs were like, oh, here, use this. Like, or they would, like, give me advice on how to, like, work my way around something, you know? It's that kind of stuff that eventually we're going to lose, right? Like,
yeah.
If the average age is 55, we've got 10 years to capture all that wealth of knowledge and pass it on, because there's so much finesse. I mean, let's not, like, forget the whole point of collision is to take something that's totally crumpled up and make it look like you were never there. Right. It's not easy.
Nope, it definitely is not. That's a very good point. It's not easy. And I also think that, and I don't know if this is the case because I'm just a dumb hammer swinger who works on trucks. I don't know exactly what goes.
Well, I'm a dumb painter with a paint gun, so.
Estimating and writing.
You guys.
But I would think that the price of cars and how much things cost to fix now would probably play a role, whereas I think they're totaling more stuff now than they were before. I don't know if that's true or not. What do you think about
that? They're totaling, or they're just doing panel replacement. You know, it's not. If the mud's going to be too big now, they're just going to replace the panel. I mean, it's not. It's more efficient just to get rid of the whole panel and replace it and move on, because it's faster cycle time and all that. People don't want mud on their cars.
Either way.
No, that is true. I think a lot of people do hear the term Bondo and they're like, I don't want that. No, I want you to fix it right. I don't want you to use Bondo.
Yeah. I want Play-Doh on my car. Right.
I think, but either way, regardless of how the industry evolves, I mean, we're still going to need people to either, you know, replace panels, or there's still going to be a need, you know, as long as there's cars on the road, it's still going to be, we're still going to need technicians, right?
Yeah.
And well-educated ones, of course. I think collectively us as a group, I think we all share that outlook that we feel that this is the way it's going. We think that digital learning is really, you know, this billions of dollar industry that it's going to, and everyone is figuring out a way to do it. And I feel like auto body collision, because of maybe like Rachel says, the age group, it just hasn't evolved to that point, you know, where it's just an industry that has kind of, we've quote unquote always done it like this. So that's how we're going to do it.
But there's many variables, right? Like think about it. What other industry is like this one? Because like, okay, you have a Toyota Corolla and it's a 3R3, right? Like you've got a million different variants. So who knows, you know, and then you're trying to match the gloss, you're trying to match the color, you're trying to like make it look like you were never there. And there's just so many different angles that where do you even start? And then go ahead.
I was going to say, from the tech side, you have the same thing where you have three techs. They would all do it different ways. It's not
you're right.
A lot of repairs. I mean, as much as we tried to make things, you know, we try to get built systems and have the OEM, you know, systems in place and all that. At the end of the day, every accident is different, and everybody's approach to that accident, while it can be standardized to some point, is going to vary across techs and across people.
Oh yeah,
I think that's just. Go ahead, Rach. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's so many variables driving the repair. There's the insurance company. There's the customer. There's the body shop owner. There's the manager. There's the whole process layout of the shop. That's been evolving a ton in the last decade. I've seen the industry go towards all these different lean concepts to try and improve the flow rate. So there's just all these other considerations. Not only do you have to do the job right, you have to do it fast.
Yeah. I hate lean concepts. I hate them. I know that's for the best, but I feel like that was where the kind of it stopped being about being an artist, and it started becoming about being a business.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of systems started coming in place.
Cycle time.
There's people who worry about, like, you know, they consider it an achievement, you know, when they have the exact amount of clear, which is, you know, it's always nice to have, but it's always nice to have a little extra too.
That's my specialty.
Yeah, we specialize in, yeah. Hashtag team no waste.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I always like to have, well, especially working on trucks when you're like, I'm thinking about like,
That's a little different.
Totally.
You're not trying to climb down your ladder to go make more clear.
I consider your 4 to 6 ounces of waste. That's no waste to me.
That's not waste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point, I guess.
Yeah. No, that's good. But that just goes to speak to what we're just talking about there's so many variables, and you can, I mean, even in the same shop from one booth to the next, if you got two booths, let alone a truck shop to a collision center shop, yes, the principles are the same, but like you said, the way you would go about there to get to that point is could be different. But I think we're really more, and we understand that, but I'd like to see more about, you know, you got technician A and B, one guy likes 80 grit, one guy likes 120, one guy likes this brand and the other brand, and it's like you've got all these things, right? I mean, we'd like to try and educate on, hey, like, let's, from a business standpoint or for the front office, right, like streamlining and processes like that. What we can control, let's control it. But as far as personality and approach and what I see the best, you know, repair method is, that's kind of unique. That's the creator in that technician. And we don't want to change that or restrict that, right? We want to kind of fan that flame and allow that to happen. But as far as the other variables, you know, where we can, let's be more efficient, you know.
Absolutely. What is it like going from being kind of the person learning to being the person educating? I know for
it's interesting.
Rachel and Dennis, you guys have probably been doing that for longer, but Russ, that's probably something kind of newer to you.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I actually, so as of recently, we have multiple locations for the shop I currently work for, and he's currently building more locations. So I've actually been going to the different shops and I've been helping them, you know, become more efficient and, you know, helping train new guys that do come in that don't know the products we use. So it's actually very weird going from just being a painter to more of a person that I guess gets looked to, you know, help all these people. And it's kind of fun, actually. Like, I actually enjoy it a lot.
So Russ is being a little modest, so I'm going to interject and maybe give a little bit more insight to Russ here. So Russell is, I would say, by far, he's the best performing. As far as when I say performing, I mean figure efficiency, profitability, because of course all these things matter in a collision center, right? Especially in the paint department. It's such a small margin that we have to make sure we're being profitable on each job. Russ has figured out a way together, I would say. Last few years we've been working together, he has just got it dialed, and his employer recognizes that, and he has been placed in a role where Russ is the guy that gets asked, hey, this technician over here, you know, most collision centers nowadays measure performance, and they're saying, you know, he's not quite there, can you go and help him? And so Russ has really stepped into that role and adopted it and has been killing it. So I'll say it instead of him saying it, because maybe it's easier coming from me outside in, but he's been doing great, I think, doing that.
Well, thank you.
It's weird when you have to take something that you just kind of do on autopilot and break it down for somebody else, like to try and copy.
It is. It's difficult for certain people that I talk to, and for others, it's easy because it's like second nature for me, because like I've worked towards it for so long that I have a system for it, and trying to explain it to them, sometimes they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, it's not this difficult. Like it's actually very simple. It becomes second nature once you do it over and over and over. And, you know, how do you cheat, you know, your systems on, you know, profitability and all that. And it's fun to see, like, you know, you look at how much is sold on there and how much you beat it by and, you know, your goals for it. And it's nice to be able to show people that side of it and actually, you know, get to show them how to do that and just how to do stuff they don't know how to do. Like, we bring a lot of new guys in. We've been looking for preppers and body men. I mean, like we said earlier, it's really hard to find any of them. We've lucked out. We found a couple, but they just, it's almost like they don't make them anymore. And when they do, I'm trying to steer them in the right direction. That way they don't get scared of, you know, oh, I can't do this.
I know that feeling, especially with the, like, there's no one coming in and you have, you know, you put up that ad. I mean, over by us, there was a body shop that had like a $6,000 sign-on bonus.
Yeah.
Sign on and stay for 6 months and you get $6,000. I mean, it's insane.
Like I said, it's like they don't make them anymore, man.
Every body shop asks for it. Anytime you go into any one, they're like, no any good techs, no any good estimators, no any this, no any that. There's no one.
Yeah.
Rachel,
you know, it's interesting.
What was it like going, this is just a question for Rachel, what was the transition like going from being like where you started in the shop, and then over through, like, you know, you were a jobber also, and then you went into manufacturing, and then now you're as like a consultant. Is it weird to get kind of like more and more away from the shop, but like always still kind of right on the edge there?
I still tinker. So, like, I just rebuilt my motorcycle last summer and, like, in the spring. So, like, you can take a girl out of the shop, but you can't take the shop out of the girl, right? Like, and I grew up with it. So some of it's just, like, inherently, like, it's just what I'm interested in. So what I've found is the further and further I get away from it professionally, the more and more interested I'm in it. Because, you know, when you just kind of get burnt out, like as a kid, I used to love, like, you know, building cars for the Howler or going up to the dragway or like just I always was into that stuff. And then the more and more I worked for like the industry, the more and more I was like, forget it. Like
my car looks like absolute trash.
Yeah. That's like how it goes. Right. You know, you just kind of get away from it. But now that I'm doing more like overhead stuff, it's just a little different, you know. My interest is peaked almost a little bit more, you know.
Yeah, actually that actually sounds very freeing to kind of like be able to just fall in love with it again and not, because I know at the end of the day, you know, the last thing I want to do is look at tape or paint or Bondo or anything. Like I said, my car is a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
No, so it must actually be very freeing to kind of be able to get that time away, so that way you can go back just to doing what you love.
Yeah, no, I you know, I've found different ways to stay, you know, somewhat in it. But occasionally, though, I do, you know, it's like that. It's far away. I, you know, I haven't been, you know, in a shop as a technician in many years. So it's fun to tinker a little bit on, you know, my free time.
You did an awesome job on your motorcycle, by the way.
Thank you. It's time for another one. It's like finally done, and I'm like, oh.
Start again.
I know. I'm gonna. Yeah. I think I'm gonna get an Indian.
Dennis, I'm very curious what it's like, kind of, in the process of going from like having Refinish Academy as an idea, in your own mind. And then kind of like what that looks like leading up to when you bring other people on, and like how you kind of managed and worked through that.
You know, it all happened really fast. And I feel like that's what people say when they maybe start a small business or something. But it did. It just kind of all of a sudden it, you know, Rachel and I had discussed it, and she gave me what I thought was some really good advice. And I thought about it, and we made
plans.
Wait,
what was the advice? You know, what was the advice?
Do it. Yeah.
I'm just hype. Yeah, that's all it. I am is hype. Professional hype.
Write that down, everybody. Just do it. I feel like that's a trademark.
Well, and that's kind of one of those things, right? Yeah, I'm sure I'm pretty sure there's a huge company out there in the world that has that trademark. So, but it's really true. You know, you can't. Yeah, that's right. You know, it's but it's one of those things that if you really, it's got to. If it means that much to you, then it's got to mean something to somebody else, you know? And I think I was just unsure, and I felt like we had that need. And I was just fortunate enough to have just really good, great people to lean on, like Rachel and Russell. And there's been many more, of course, involved. Russell's employers, you know, where we film some of our content, and he's been really generous and lets us do our thing there. And I mean, just lots of people support. But I think that, yeah, it just became this thing. Once I figured and made up the decision to do it, I feel like it went so fast. But again, I think that speaks volumes to the people that are involved. It was easy, honestly. The editing and the filming and all that stuff takes time, but it just seemed to happen organically. The feedback on some of our customers that I've gotten that have signed up for our program is that they always say that the thing that everyone tells me is like, man, you guys are just seem really down to earth. Like, you're real people. Which I'm like, well, yeah, we are, you know, but we're not a manufacturer. We're not trying to sell you a product per se. We're generally trying to help. Of course we think we're really great at what we're doing. So of course, like there's a small cost to participate. However, again, we are a business after all, but we think that it's important. And I think that, but once we got the ball rolling, it just it kind of took off. It just, you know, I was editing video, and I just remember staying up till 3, 4, 5 in the morning some nights, and just going because I was excited to do it. You know, so yeah, it was a weird. Once I decided to take the plunge, it just took off. You know.
So is Refinisher Academy, is that all 100% digital, or is there some like? Because I know that Russ said that he goes into shops. I think he said that he does that for the company he works for during the day, though.
Yeah. So that's his day job that he's okay. Right, participated in that side of it.
Sorry, I just confused that.
No, it's all good. And I think we all have our own, you know, right, our own day jobs. This is, you know, something we all do. Again, with Rachel's help and Russell's help, and on my time apart from my day job as well. In the future, you know, it's not something I would not be opposed to providing some kind of service of that type. I suppose if we find that there's a need for it, I'll cross that bridge when we get to it. You know, but I have had people ask. It's interesting how it's taken off. We've got people. I had someone today in Brazil ask me for help. in Sao Paulo. I'm like, man, I don't even speak Portuguese, and I'm on like Google Translate, translating the conversation and trying to like talk to him about, you know, bake cycles on clear. So it's just interesting. Like I said, I'm like, if these people are from Russia, Austria, Brazil, like they're reaching out with questions, Sweden. And I, you know, there's gotta be a need. I just feel like there has to be something, because all these people are looking here and are asking questions that otherwise they go, okay. So I have you. Okay. I'm going to try it with you. Like, what do you think about this? So I just think it's been a really cool thing. The last few months have been really nice, you know, getting to know people and trying to help make people better and solve problems. You know, it's been great.
That's an amazing feeling when people reach out to you, isn't it? I'm always just like flabbergasted when people, I'm like, man, I'm putting out all this content. I didn't think anyone actually cared.
Yeah,
definitely cool.
Yeah.
What's the kind of breakup between like the work for you guys? Like, how do you guys kind of decide who does what?
Well, when we get together, we get together as a team, you know. And I think that honestly, for myself, I had the idea originally, but I was fortunate enough to bounce this off Rachel. And I mean, she's so sharp when it comes to all this stuff. It just happens kind of through osmosis. The best way I can describe it is, I don't know if there's any racers out there, but I work on a top fuel dragster. I do either the bottom end or a cylinder head, depending on who's there. And for that particular weekend. And we had someone write an article about our team. And I remember reading, it was in Hot Rod Magazine when Hot Rod was still around. And I remember him saying, his name's Cole Kuntz, who's the author. And Cole wrote, he's like, you know, this team operates almost through osmosis. They don't even talk. They just know where they're going to be at that time. And they know where to stand. And they know where the guy across from the engine is going to be in his process so that he can proceed with his. And then it gets done, right? We service the car and we go back out. And it kind of, that just happened when we were together. I can't be in front of the camera. I'm the one kind of filming and editing. So fortunately, I've got Rachel and Ross to help me present. And they've been in the industry, of course, as long as they have been. And it just, I might have an idea that I want to cover. And I just throw it out there. And it just kind of happens. They go, okay, we get it. We understand what you want. That's cool. Like, and then it just happens. It's hard to answer your question because we don't have like a meeting about, okay, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do that. When the three of us get together, it just happens organically, you know?
And I totally think too, you like, it snowballs. Like when we did the filming last, it was like, you'd start with one thing and then you'd be like, oh my gosh, how could we miss this? You know?
The rabbit hole, right?
Well, what was wild was the East Coast, West Coast differences. You know, I flew out for filming and like, they didn't have half the products I'm used to, you know, compliant versus non-compliant states. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, give me solvent, man. What is this? So that was interesting. Just learning, you know, West Coast, like the stuff that they're doing versus what we do back up in the Northeast.
Well, and even that, you know, that sparks like we mentioned it while we were filming that time. The last time was just, hey, wow, the rabbit hole, it's pretty deep. And just that realization of like, well, you know, Rachel saying like, what the hell is this? She's like, this sucks. This solvent sucks. Why do you even have it? Like, well, that's what we got, you know? But that showed me the need, like, you know what? Well, now I got to go film in the Northeast. Now we got to go back there because we can't just present, right? One scope, one metric, like one thing. We got to cover it all, right?
I'm just going to say right now, if you do like Aruba or like tropical islands, I'm down.
Yeah,
I'll come down too.
I'm there. Hawaii, yeah. We'll figure out somewhere in Hawaii to go film. Yeah. Right.
You guys let me know. I got some contacts in Hawaii.
You're in.
Perfect. Put it on the calendar now. Let's go.
Hopefully Todd's listening. He'll let us stay there.
I talked to Todd earlier today. He told me to tell you hello.
He's a great guy.
He's awesome. I sent him out one of our hats today because I've been lagging on him. I felt bad.
Yeah, you know, getting some merch out to the guys, the people that have been helping. So
it's pretty amazing the community of kind of like body men and ladies and just painters, and the whole kind of auto body crew online is surprisingly, surprisingly large, but everybody's so open to everybody else. It's pretty,
they're all super cool, man. I talk to a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. You must.
Yeah, they're all really rad. Yeah.
It's it's a great community. I mean, I feel like Russ kind of helped me introduce me a little bit and helped promote the, you know, our project here, and yeah, Rachel as well. And it's interesting. Like I gotta say, like when we created the Instagram page, I mean, it's only been a couple months and it's been growing kind of like a weed, and it's just been so great to have. I mean, that's why they call it social media, I guess, right? But it's just that community is so strong, and everyone has been so generous and friendly and helful and engaging. I never would have thought that people would have. And I love that kind of stuff because I love answering questions, teaching as much as I can, but also learning from people. You know, in some of the comments and some of our posts, it's there, you know. And when I was painting, you know, Facebook had just kind of come out. It had only been a few years, and we didn't have that. And I think this is kind of the thing I always say is like, as a technician, sometimes all you know is what's in your four walls, you know, what's in the booth, and you got to figure it out on your own. And now you have that little app in your pocket where you've got all, you know, 400, 800, 1500, 1000, you know, all these people that follow you that you can perhaps exchange an idea with or bounce something off of. And it's a really cool community.
I actually have really been able to kind of lean on that just because I've talked about this a few times where like I work in my family shop. So like the only body men or painters or anyone I've ever met are literally like the eight people I've worked with in my right. career. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like even being able to like message my buddy fire truck mechanic about like if we're having a mechanical issue with a truck, or you know, I've messaged my buddy Phil about like hydraulic stuff before. Like we were having an issue with a hydraulic line, and he kind of, I just had to ask him a couple questions. He was able to respond within like minutes. It's like I'm able to kind of, like you said, gain all that knowledge that everybody else has just jumping on my phone for a few minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, and then obviously, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's something that's, it's kind of evolved over time, right? We didn't have that ability 10 years ago. And I think that Refinish Academy is something that I would like to insert into that timeline of evolution. I'm like, okay, now there's this other thing, right, that people can have access to, and not just for technicians, but even for front office people. You know, I think that's been my focus over the last month. I've been busy trying to film stuff here at home in more of a classroom style setting about front office stuff. Because there's almost this disconnect between the front and the back. The estimators in the front don't know what the technicians in the back have to experience, and vice versa. And, you know, maybe educating some of the people in the front about the processes in the back will help create a more cohesive team, and the shop performs better, you know? So it's, I think that is kind of the next stage of the evolution, apart from just, okay, what can I do to, how can I duplicate this Toyota rocker, you know, rocker texture guard? It's kind of beyond that now. Like it's the next level, I think. I think it's here. I think, and it'd be great to contribute to that.
Absolutely. And I think it's nice that you don't have to rely on kind of the manufacturer. Like you don't have to, like, if we have a problem with a PPG product, it would be great to talk to PPG, but they're not always the fastest to get back to you. The guy who you're dealing with might not know, and I'd have to go up to the next level. You know what I mean? So having that extra resource, maybe you guys have run into something that I've run into or vice versa. You know what I mean? It's always nice to have.
Well, plus like everything changes too. Like I remember when 46V and 46G came out with the Mazdas, it was like, everybody was like, what is this? And it didn't matter what paint line you were. Everybody was just looking at each other like, what? And that took a while. Like that wasn't like an immediate thing. I mean, that was brutal.
What's nice about it, by the time it gets to me, it's usually all worked out.
You're lucky.
Yeah, right. Well, it's funny because I think with Russ, the first time he had his first 46V and 46G, you know, I was there at the shop helping him. We're doing the job together, and I recently bought a new car, and it's a little Mazda 46G. And he's like, I pulled up to the shop. He's like, you gotta be kidding me. I said, why? I was like, I ain't paying it. If something happens, you're paying it. I'm bringing it to you.
Total loss.
Yeah. And he's but you know, it's so, but yes, it's funny how those things evolved. And I think, it's just a sign of the time that goes, I think, back to earlier in our conversation tonight, where I think that's part of the problem with education in our industry is that things change so quickly. I mean, a book, right? From when I remember when I was in an auto body class in college, you know, it was just, the book was 10 years old and none of it was relevant. So nowadays I think having something digital, we can evolve as the industry evolves, right? Our curriculum, so to speak, changes with it. And it's not just kind of thrown out the window, like in a textbook, right? That just doesn't, you don't do some of those things anymore.
You don't do a lot of those things anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget when I was in high school, the social studies teacher showed us an old textbook and it said, one day man may land on the moon.
Oh, that's great.
Or you know, it's once, if you don't know, you don't know, right? And then once you do, it's like everybody has to scramble to try and catch back up.
Mm-hmm.
So right. It's great that you guys are kind of able to be out there and staying ahead and trying to keep yourselves ahead, especially with everything, like you said, changing as fast as you can. I mean, all it takes is one law change, one, especially out in California, you know, where you guys are doing everything.
I don't know how you guys do it.
We don't that's a separate we don't even want to go there right now. Yeah, it's bad.
I just make it work.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, they're not even 100% sure how they do it.
No, it's all pure dumb luck mostly.
Yeah, we gotta we gotta figure it out. But it is, you know, it's funny because working for the manufacturer, you know, I would get questions and it's like, man, well, how am I supposed to do this? And it's like, hey man, we got to figure it out with what we've got, you know. And to Rachel, like what she was talking about earlier a few minutes ago about the 46, you know, we just come up with them, you know. It's not, the OEMs are not telling us, hey, this is how you duplicate it. Those, we figure that out as a manufacturer or in the shop level. I mean, you have to do what works, right? But again, education and understanding the fundamentals and why the product and the chemistry is what it is, so that if you understand that stuff to that level, and of course that's an advanced level, that's not a, you know, entry level thing, but no. If you can understand those things, then you can make good choices in the booth when it comes time, right? Or you've got a problem, if you can understand the background of things and why they behave the way they do, man, that's gonna make you a great technician,
you know? Absolutely. I always think about, you know, the best thing a painter could probably do is just learn how to use a color wheel appropriately. Because
mm-hmm.
once you Absolutely. Can do that, you can
that's a big thing.
Figure out how to make a color. Doesn't really matter what you're using. If you have their list of colors and numbers, you should be able to figure out how to make a color work.
Color is color. It's just color theory at that point. I mean, I've used different
brands
and paint lines, and it's all the same concept, no matter if it's solvent, if it's water-based, if it's this, or if it's, you know, different, it's all color theory. It doesn't, the color itself is color. You can add and take away colors. It's all the same from line to line to me.
It's amazing how many people have never been taught that, though. And I was fortunate enough where I started off, apart from my first job in a collision center, which was pretty bare bones. I mean, we were not doing anything advanced in that shop. but I went to go work for a distributor after that, and the gentleman that owned the shop there, he still owns the stores. He was gracious enough to let me learn to tint. You know, we would mix color for people in the back, right? And they'd bring a piece of door skin or whatever, and
I mean, I would screw color up, right? But he was like, hey, but that's how you learn, Dennis. It's okay. And I'd feel bad. You got to pour a pint of paint down the barrel or something because I messed it up. But like, the guy let me cut my teeth. You know, I owe a lot to that gentleman, you know. And,
paint's too expensive to be doing that these days.
Yeah.
Well, even back then. But again, but that's why I'm saying, like, that's how big a heart this guy has. He's like this. He's been in business for almost 55 years now. And it's like, but, you know, sometimes – it's just what it takes, right? I mean, but we are certainly trying to pass along that knowledge so that you don't have to be the one pouring the pint of paint down your barrel. Yeah, you know,
the whole concept of painting now is different, and it's evolved even in the 20 years or so I've been in. Like, you know, lacquer thankfully was like right before my day, so I'm not that old. The Botox is helping me, but that's all I got. No,
same, Rachel, same.
But like, you know, think about it. OEMs are barely putting a coating on these panels, so it's not.
There's no product.
So it's a really see-through finish that you're trying to replicate. So you have to consider, you know, was there sealer used? Like, what color was it? Was it, you know, a darker shade or a lighter shade? Because you're trying to just match the adjacent panel or blend in. Like, there's just so many variables.
It's a pain is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everyone does it differently.
But that's why it's fun.
Things like, you know, tri-coats and stuff where, a drop of tint in the top coat could change the entire thing, or like, you never know what you're going
to get. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like a lot of the white pearl cars are even coming that are brand new from factory. They're coming one coat of pearl. I'm like, let me put one coat of pearl on there and make it look good. It's, I mean, I figured out how to do it, but it's still like, you know, it's not easy.
No, I think they're just doing it on purpose to screw with us now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they do.
It's a joke. You know, it's just one big joke.
They're trying to, hey, if they can save one coat of paint on every car that they produce, I mean, that's
thousands and thousands
millions,
of dollars.
Dude, millions. I mean, that's really what it's about. Unfortunately, in the shop level and technician level, it's up to us to figure it out, right? And no two are alike. But again, I just can't help but go back to what I said earlier. It's like, but if we can teach you the reason why it is what it is, or the fundamentals and principles, and share those ideas and thoughts, and so that you can apply them to that day to day, and you can get the repair, you know, kind of completed how the OEM kind of did it, you'll be successful, you know.
Absolutely. I think that's a good point. Worry about teaching systems in like the most basic form, and then you should be able to build off of that yourself.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, to me, there's a big disconnect in, like, even some of the trade schools that teach auto body and paint, and like the junior colleges that teach auto body and paint. Like you said earlier, some of those textbooks are like from the 80s. I'm like, this is, yeah, it's, you know, I've had people come in, they're like, well, this is what I learned. I'm like, well, you could take that and throw it out the window,
yeah,
because
Russ, like, what's
those
crazy
products
that,
don't
though,
even.
The Volk schools have changed the way they do it. It used to be, when I went to Volk school, you had 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. In 2 weeks, you could learn something. Now they're breaking it up where these kids have like an hour, then they're going to English, then they're back for 2 hours, then they go to math. Like, what can you do with a collision for an hour? Like, you might put like one coat of Bondo on, and then you're going to English. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
I actually thought about going to tech school, and then they told me that I was going to have to take a math class and like an English class. I was like, I literally want to swing a hammer for the rest of my life. I don't need to know, you know, I don't need to write a book report. I read enough.
Well, like, even a lot of the guys that come out of like the vocational schools for like paint and stuff, you know, they come in, they're like, oh, I'm a painter. I'm like, dude, like, you're not a painter. Like, you've painted one fender or like a couple panels on the same car for the past 3 months. Like, can you blend a color? Can you tint a color? Do you even know how to mask a car properly? Like, there's a lot that goes into it that I just feel like there's a big disconnect. And with what we're doing, it's just more of like it's a real shop experience, and not, I don't know how to put that, but it's just more of a real experience is what I'm getting at. It's not
guys, we sound like a bunch of old farts.
I know, and I'm not even that old yet.
I know.
But as I'm listening to Russ speak, I'm thinking to myself, I think it goes back to like the variables. It's hard to teach you to think on your feet.
Yeah.
And really, that's what being a technician in the modern shop is. No job is ever the same, even though it's the same product and the same process, but everything is just always different. And again, that's why I just keep going back to it. It's trying to teach you those principles and how to think on your feet is really important. It's a very complicated thing these days, but it's so interesting to me. It's so interesting, and like I said, that's part of the reason I enjoy it. Like, no 2 days are ever exactly the same. No repair is the same. It keeps things interesting.
What
I like about what you guys are doing too is I feel like a lot of times in the shop, there's no more like the days of being in like a complete body man, like being able to bring something in, disassemble it, paint, prep it, tape it, paint it, fix the paint afterward, and then put it back together. Now that's taking 6-7 people and they're only doing one step. Whereas I think, if you can create a complete tech, you're going to get a better product at the end.
Yeah. If everybody learns everybody else's job, it helps you from front to back, right. Like I've even, like I told Dennis earlier, like I've, on Monday when I go into work, I'm not going to be painting because we don't have, and we have other guys there. So if I can keep them busy and I can go sling some mud, then, why not?
And every job is just as important to make that final product.
It is.
That's what
it totally is.
I actually just made a video the other day that was talking about preppers are like the most underappreciated people in the shop because they're like the lowest paid, the lowest rung on the ladder. But if they do the job right, you're like nobody else's job isn't good.
Exactly.
It's like the most important job in the shop, and they're looked down upon like they're the worst. But really, the body tech, the painter, none of them can do their job right if the prepper doesn't do a good job.
Everybody relies on the prepper.
Yeah, it's such an important cog. As soon as you said that, I'm thinking of my prepper when I was in my mid late 20s, and his name was Augustine, and we called him Daddy because he was in his mid 60s, and this Mexican gentleman, and he just kind of was the father figure in the back of the shop there, and he's like, hey Daddy, can you paint, this one's next, then this one, I'm going to be clearing in 30 minutes, I'll be done, I got to pull this out, and then he's okay, yeah, okay, and then he would just, boom, I would tell him, like, hey, I'm going to be clearing, car's going to be coming out at this time, and guess what, it would be done, like I would get ready to open the booth doors, and he's pulling that next car around, like, okay, I'm ready for you, and he was like that lifeblood of that shop, but everyone's role is important. But like Russ said, I think if everyone kind of learns and can appreciate, and maybe not even appreciate, but at least if you can understand and respect, like, okay, like you may not get along with that person or whatever, you may have a beef with the body guy, with the painter or whoever, but as long as you can understand and appreciate that, hey, like, we're on the same team, let's work together in this way. But like, education, I think, is a really big pillar of that. At least if one guy understands what the other person or gal, whoever it may be, understands what they've got to battle each day, it brings everybody together. It just creates a cohesive unit, I think.
100%. I think if you're listening to this right now and you're just like, and you're a painter or whatever, try and take a day and go spend some time down with the preppers, or take a day, try taping for a while. It's going to give you, it's going to make you more well-rounded, which is always a good thing, but it's also going to give you perspective on what they're trying to deal with. And that's important, especially when you're all working as a team on something as important as like putting these cars out in a good time and more importantly, in good quality.
Correct. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm not a body technician, but I always really respected what they did. They'd send me over a car and radiator supports in all just perfect and looks pretty and it's just square and the welds are great. And I'm just like, dude, that's what you want. Like, and I've worked in other shops too, where it's like that radiator support don't look too, that looks a little shady. I'm like, man, I don't know that I want my family in that car. I think it does take a lot, to appreciate what the other people are putting out, and brings you all together.
And those finer details are the things that really ultimately matter at the end. I mean, a lot of times, you know, you might get frustrated. I'm thinking about like lining up panels, and you're like, you know what? It's a quarter of an inch off, or it's an eighth of an inch off, but it's not a big deal. Like, just send it. And then, like, you know, you're like, no, I got to fix it. And then you take that a little bit of extra time and you just fix it. And then at the end, you look at it and you're like, God, I'm glad I took the time to fix that and do it right.
Definitely. I mean, the whole goal is to put it back to pre-accident condition. Just like Rachel said earlier, like, you were never there.
And I think educating people on even what that means, I think, is because, you know, we'll go into shops and they're sanding panels flat and it's like a show. They're trying to achieve this show car finish. I'm like, dude, man, that looks like shit to me. Like, I don't want that. Like, no. Like, it just looks wrong.
It needs a little
right. Peel. And needs a little texture. Right. Yeah. So I don't know. You know, it's never there to me means like you were never there. I remember working for one person that, if we did a rear body panel and a trunk floor, he'd have me clear the trunk floor. I'm like, dude, there's no clear back here. Like, it's just eco. He's like, no, paint it and clear it. I'm like, dude, that's just wrong. You know, yeah. I'm like, I'm trying to save you. Not only am I trying to save you product and be efficient, but it doesn't look right. It just doesn't, you know, but he's the boss. He owns the shop. Okay, I'll clear it if you want.
You know what?
But
what
to me, it never sat well with me, you know?
What kills me is when you pull a hood off and the insides of the fenders aren't jammed.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're like, yeah. Oh, who did this last?
Right.
I'm going over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing like, you know, what'd you save yourself? Like $100, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You
just
made it right. And I think a lot of that also comes down to educating the customer too.
Yeah, yes.
I think a lot of people don't really know what they're looking at. And so a lot of people
How about the whole bumper thing, right? Like,
right. No That's one ever realizes
that yep. Their bumper never matches until after they've gotten it painted, and they're like, "Oh, what's this? Like, it didn't match from the get-go."
Right, especially on your 12-year-old car.
Mm-hmm. Right, I just did it.
Don't even go there. Oh,
car.
Yeah,
that's the worst feeling is when you're painting a car that's been like beat on and stuff, and you're like, you know, the color's never gonna match because you can't. Mimic sun fading. Damage.
Yeah,
you can't mimic sun fading, so you just it's not going to look right. I hate that.
Mm.
You're stressing me out just talking about it. Thanks, Rachel.
No, I just did that. I just did that last week.
What do you guys want Refinish Academy to look like in 10 years? What are you hoping? If you could wave a magic wand, what were you hoping it would look like?
Jeez. That's a great question.
I told you, I'm asking the good ones.
Well, I want to hear what these two guys have to say, and then I'll share my thoughts.
Rachel, go.
Okay, all right. I hope that it evolves into something that we don't even know yet, right? Like, even just like having this conversation, my mind's kind of thinking about like, Dennis, maybe you should offer like a hotline or a service or some sort of like, you know, I don't know. I'm like, I would imagine that this thing will evolve into something different, but with the same purpose to help people instantly and quickly.
Definitely. I guess I would like to see it evolve, you know, just into something even bigger. And, you know, eventually, like we were talking about it the other day. I was like, what if one day it just blew up and, you know, we had a small training center, or we were able to go out and, you know, help people at different shops and stuff. Like, I think that'd be rad. And I think it'd totally be fun to do something like that eventually if it, you know, worked out, having digital plus, okay, if you need some extra assistance, bam, we can come help you.
Yeah. And I think, my answer is a combination of both of those things. I think that, hopefully in 10 years, we can look back on this and say, man, we literally started off in the garage, you know, just like so many huge companies have in the past year, right? Where it was just, okay, you know, we just had this idea and a couple cameras and some buddies getting together and going for it. But I would like to be able to earn some accreditations with some people so that we can become really an integral part of the education kind of system when it comes to the auto body world. So, you know, something on par with maybe ASC or ICAR or something like that, where it's, you know, we feel like with the experience that we bring, which is probably close to 50 years between the three of us, you know, we think that should mean something. You know, we've been around, we've seen some things, you know, and we've helped a lot of people find solutions to everyday problems. And so I think, you know, goal would be to show that we're capable of that, and we can provide a really solid foundation where we can be the premier go-to, you know, company for education. And it's almost like I'd like it to be something that you don't even know is kind of running in the background. It's just kind of built into your shop. It's just an integral, it's another piece in the cog, right? Another cog in the whole machine. Like Russell said, they certainly discussed offering services like that. And perhaps in the future, I can hire some people in different states and that, you know, I think are qualified that can serve as kind of a person that can come and get your shop steered in the right direction, figure out profitability, efficiency, increase your throughput, you know, all these things. So it would be great to have different branches of the company, right? You know, live, digital, you know, in different aspects. So I think really we've just scratched the surface. I think we're trying to address the immediate need, which again, just in today's times, in the last, you know, few months, digital has really been something that's been a requirement, really. Training centers are shut down. They're not offering classes, but we still need training, right? So I think right now we've really barely just begun. So I think that in the future, it'd be great to see something like that.
What I would like to see, since this is my show and I get
absolutely.
What do you want?
Yeah. What would you like? We'll get it for you.
I could see you guys going in two big directions that I think would be really cool. One, I would love to see you guys have like a subscription service where, like I could type a question in, like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I can't even think of anything right now. What grit sandpaper should I use on, you know, a whatever? And then it will come up with the video that would be there to help me with what I need. That would be awesome. And make it like a subscription service. I think that would be really cool. And then also I would love to see live events. Like I would love to see auto body live events that like make auto body cool. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't gotta be like the WWE, right? But it could be like, I would just like to see that. I would like to eventually maybe do something like that myself. But just something that makes auto body cool. You know what I mean? It makes people think about it and not think about it like just a bunch of old guys standing around a dusty shop.
Yeah.
I sense coming on.
That's right. I was gonna say, so we're gonna have to get something on the calendar because I think that actually sounds really fun. And apart from that, I think it's you know, I gotta say, the last time we all got together and filmed, I had so much fun. It was just hanging out with my friends, and really this is something that's really important to us, but I feel like that comes through in the content we've created. And especially me, like I get to edit it all. So I'm just like the behind the scenes stuff. I'm just sitting there at 3 a.m. just dying laughing because it was so fun. And it's not a bunch of old people sitting in a dusty shop. It's, you know, these are your peers. These are my peers. Right. And, they're people I respect, and hey, you know, that just makes for a great day, you know. If you can enjoy what you're doing while you're doing that with the people you love, you know, hey, even better, you know, some of your best friends, right, work in the shop side by side with you in the trenches, right? So I think that would be pretty cool.
We should do a truck day. What if we did like a tutorial at your shop and did like truck 101?
Hell yeah, let's do it.
Truck 101 and a destruction derby, and then we'll fix the car.
That's the coolest thing about what we do is that there's literally so many different directions you can go.
There's like, no rules. We could do what we want.
I was thinking the other day, like, if I needed to, I could go work at a boat factory. Like, I know how to do fiberglass work. I'll just go fix boats. I could paint boats. I could do, you know, you can go into pinstriping. You can go into, there's so many different avenues that you can go into.
Life skills.
It's so amazing.
You know, it's the craziest thing. I'm a I'm really into golf. I'm a terrible golfer, but I love it. I love being out there. And there's a YouTube channel that I follow. Guy's really great. And, you know, with his social media, someone, they were traveling. They went to St. Andrews as a tour. But there was a guy that is a member out there, right, where they invented the sport. And he said, "Hey, man, I'm a member. If you guys want to go, we can go play." And they're like, he's like, are you kidding me? Right? Like, wow. Because it's just, it costs a fortune to do it. And it's, you know, it's just this very exclusive thing. And during his vlog, the guy was just telling him, "Hey, man, I'm so glad you're here." He's like, and the guy said, he made a comment that stuck with me. He just said, he's like, "Isn't this great?" He's like, "You know, the power of the world." And the guy's response was, he said, "That's right. You can do anything you want." And really, that is, like, you make these connections with people, and that's the power of the world, right? You build something, and you do it. So, no restrictions. I mean, let's go. We do whatever we want. Let's do it.
100%. There's also something very empowering about being able to change the color of something.
That's right. That's right. One day you change your mood and change the color. Screw it.
I buy stuff at thrift shops all the time and just paint it different colors just for fun.
That's a great idea.
I think it's funny. I would definitely love to do a truck day if you guys are down. Thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. That's all the questions I have for you. You guys killed it.
Sweet.
Hey, we really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thanks, boss.
Speaking from the people, we would love to see those bloopers.
I'll
put them together for you.
I don't edit anything out, so all the bloopers are staying in on this one.
Oh my god!
No problem.
I know. We have bloopers. Oh boy!
Can't wait.
Well, unfortunately for Rachel and Russ, they're the ones in front of the camera. I'm the one behind the camera, just laugh, trying to not laugh. So it's going to be really, you, you're gonna see that too.
You can be an impartial judge as to what's funny.
Mm. I'm just like a human blooper.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the people that follow us on our social media will certainly they'll certainly let us know. They're good.
Awesome, guys. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
Have a good one, guys.
I hope you guys all have a wonderful night.
You too.
Yep, thank you too.
The same.
Bye, Rachel.
Bye, guys. Bye.